JPMorgan Chase, the big bank, Jamie Dimon, the brilliant trader, the brilliant manager in the financial system, all facing the music this morning as JPMorgan Chase announces its second quarter earnings. It's the first opportunity to get any official company precision about that derivatives loss that was originally estimated at $2 billion, a loss we learned about back in April. According to this second quarter report, however, it's $4.4 billion. That's the loss. Nevertheless, the bank made money during the quarter. With the details is Michael De La Merced, New York Times reporter with the Deal Book. Michael, what do you see as the headline out of this besides, and maybe not even including, the $4.4 billion loss?
Well, I still think that's the headline. At 4.4, that's sort of where the bank had expected the loss to be a couple of weeks ago. But Jamie Dimon did say, he did insist before Congress that J.P. Morgan would be, quote-unquote, solidly profitable in second quarter, and $5 billion, I think, is fairly solid.
Yes, indeed. What does this say about the bank? We've heard it described as, you know, certainly a successful bank, but one that is heavily leveraged, that has basically created a strategy that puts it solidly in these kinds of risky trades, the derivative markets where you're doing all kinds of complicated hedging. This is not a traditional bank in the sense that Chase and J.P. Morgan once were.
That's right. J.P. Morgan has prided itself on two things. One, it's prided itself on being smarter than a lot of its competitors and its ability to get into a lot of riskier situations and not let itself get burned. But on the other hand, it also claims to have a quote-unquote fortress balance sheet, meaning it's got a lot more cash on hand. It can withstand a lot of shocks better than its competitors. And what we're seeing in the earnings is that, for the most part, actually the traditional bank operations have actually done pretty well, and it's that the investment banking that actually dropped a little bit in profit. But its normal business of lending to customers and to corporations has actually improved in this quarter.
So does this quarterly report say that Jamie Dimon was right when he went before Congress and said, we're solid, we can hedge, we can definitely get through this? Is this a one-off, or will shareholders be looking at this quarterly report and saying, you know, the strategy of this bank may be flawed. We could have other kinds of investments like this go sour down the line?
I think it's a little bit of a split decision for Jamie and for J.P. Morgan. Clearly, they were able to withstand this, but the whole issue with the CIO loss, the $4.4 billion loss, is still that it does raise questions about the firm's risk management, about its ability to rein in its traders when they go too far astray. And I don't know that that's necessarily been solved. We're going to have to wait to see what Dimon says on the call with analysts later. But for the moment, it seems like they can withstand this loss, but it's still a question of what might else be lying in wait.
Indeed, Michael De La Merced, New York Times reporter with Deal Book, talking to us about the second quarter earnings report from JPMorgan Chase. Joining us, William Cohen, former investment banker and author of Money and Power, How Goldman Sachs Came to Rule the World. What do you see here? The idea that one can manage risk by engaging in an enormous number of simultaneous trades, is that seen to be a flawed strategy this morning, looking at the numbers here, William?
You know, I think it's a necessary evil. Unfortunately, these banks are so big; they've got so much exposure. You know, one point Jamie Dimon made in his congressional testimony is that, you know, J.P. Morgan has, you know, billions of dollars, $700 billion worth of commercial loans that it makes to corporate clients. He says that is the biggest proprietary risk that we have. And so we have to hedge that. And so I think that's the nature of banking today. They're so big, they've got their fingers in so many pies that they have to do this. Now, I'm not necessarily thinking that's such a great thing. I think that's, in fact, a flaw in the system. But unfortunately, we have to deal with what the facts that we have on the ground at the moment, and these are very, very large, risky institutions.
So is the takeaway here really an attempt by an enormously influential institution, JPMorgan Chase, to develop a message, a language of saying to shareholders and then broadly to the financial community and even to potential regulators in Washington, this is how we do business nowadays. You're going to have to get used to this kind of thing. Is that what's going on here?
And that's exactly what Jamie Dimon said. He said, this is what we do. This is what our business is. They are a massive risk taking enterprise, and they have to do their best to, you know, hedge those risks and manage those risks. And the interesting thing about this whole episode is that Jamie Dimon, who is sort of a legendary hands-on manager and has got his fingers in every pie in no matter what firm he's been working at, he let this one slip by, which was completely out of character. I don't think we have the answers to that yet about why that happened. He's obviously making a good show of saying how, you know, things have improved, these people have been fired, we're going to claw back money, we've closed it down, we're moving the risk to another part of the bank, but he has not answered that fundamental question of how somebody who is such a hands-on manager allowed this to happen.
Did something go wrong within the culture of J.P. Morgan, something you know very, very well in your career, William?
Well, look, I think that to be fair to Jamie Dimon, he's brought that bank to a level it never achieved when I was there, which was during and before the J.P. Morgan merger and Bank One merger. He's done an amazing job, but, you know, he's saying, I can't know everything. I can't be in charge of everything. I can't have, which is sort of counter to what he would have us believe. But, you know, I think that he is the kind of guy who's going to learn from this. But again, this doesn't make it right. Why are these banks taking this kind of risk to begin with is something that I think we have to ask ourselves in a very fundamental way.
William Cohen is former investment banker and author of Money and Power, How Goldman Sachs Came to Rule the World. Before we go, Michael De La Merced, is this going to be one of those sell the rumor, buy the news days? Well, futures are definitely up on Wall Street. It looks like a positive day ahead of us.
I think that's the case. Now that there is some clear sense of where things lie, I think people might feel a bit more comforted. We'll see what happens a little down the road.
Comforted by a $4.4 billion loss. What times we live in, eh, William and Michael?
Unbelievable.
Michael De La Merced, New York Times reporter with DealBook. William Cohen, former investment banker and author of Money and Power, How Goldman Sachs Came to Rule the World. Commenting on the second quarter earnings report from JPMorgan Chase, they lost $4.4 billion on that infamous bet gone wrong, but made $5 billion in the quarter.